Amen. Why don't y'all stand up with me for just one more time, okay? Let's just lift up our hands unto the Lord. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity to once again come into your presence. We thank you for the ability to draw breath here today. Your word says to let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. And so, Lord, we thank you. We will not reserve our praise for somebody else. We will not reserve our praise for a football team or a baseball team. For you alone are worthy of all of our praise here today. You're a great God. You're a mighty God. And we're so grateful for all that you've done for us, all that you've done for our family. And we believe there's nothing but great things in store here today. And if you agree with that, why don't you clap your hands one more time unto God. And let's give him praise. Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. It's going to be a great Sunday. You may go ahead and be seated. Amen. What a privilege it is to be with you once again. I'm so glad because, you know, normally as an evangelist, we go to different churches, and we had our first Sunday here not too long ago. And so to actually be asked back, you know, it's like now I feel like I can take my makeup off, so to speak, you know, and just kind of let loose because I felt I was a little too reserved last time, you know. So, amen. Amen. So, we are so thankful for Pastors Parkey and Rhonda. They are such a blessing. They're such good people. They're such good people. And, you know, I had the privilege of ministering in Cuba last July, and those people are hungry for the Word of God. You know, coming from that communist government, I mean, you want to know how bad it is over there. I mean, you imagine this world. You imagine a world with no Wi-Fi connection. My gosh. There's just some things you cannot live without. And there, I was the first thing that I noticed right off the bat. And they said, no, we don't have Wi-Fi. Government controls the Wi-Fi. So you literally had to go to certain areas. You had to buy cards in order to use the Wi-Fi in certain areas there, that government monitoring everything. And so, I mean, it's a different area, but it's kind of cool in that it takes you back. You visit Old Havana, it looks like 1950s. It's awesome. It's a beautiful place. So I believe that they're having great meetings there. Amen. We're just going to keep them lifted up in prayer. Amen. Amen. Believe the best for them. And as Miss Heidi said, yes, just returned this week from Nigeria. And Nigeria. I tell you what, talk about a place or hotbed of activity there. I mean, you know, we have it pretty good here in Texas. Can I, you agree with me there? There's nobody being chopped up for their beliefs over here, but there's a group named Boko Haram there in Nigeria that, you know, just even though they don't show up in your nightly fake news, I mean, they're a legitimate source. Did y'all catch that, by the way? that was intentional. Just because you maybe don't hear about them on those news channels, they are very much a threat. I mean, you can very well be chopped to death for proclaiming the gospel in northern Nigeria there. And so we believe, though, that for divine protection every time we go, and even though that there's bad things going on in the north, we believe that there's revival hitting that area. And we've been going now here for 4 or 5 years, and every time just gone out into different villages, different areas, preaching the gospel. And this last time I got hooked up with the man. I mean, he is the Pentecostal president of the fellowship over there. And when you travel with this guy, I mean, it's like traveling with the Pope. I mean, your Escalade is in the middle, and you got 3 cars in front of you, 3 cars behind you of armed soldiers with AK-47s. I mean, you just kind of feel like, all right, well, even if my angels got the day off today, I think this guy will take care of it. You know, this guy will take care of me too here. So it's pretty cool to travel with them and everything. And Nigeria, I mean, they have the world's biggest church, 1.2 million members of the Redeemed Christian Church there in Canaan land. pastored by Bishop David Oyedepo. If you can imagine that many people, I mean, they're in the process of building a 100,000-seat auditorium. Big things are happening there. I remember first time I told my wife I was going there, you know, she had the thoughts there that Nigeria, okay, tigers and monkeys and zebras, oh my. But there's actually a very, very big work of God. God's gospel is going to places right now. The light of the gospel is going into places right now, transforming lives. Amen. Bible says this gospel shall be preached and then the end shall come. Amen. So the gospel is going forth, and it's a privilege to be able to be a harvester in these harvest fields in this last day. While I was there, though, this past week, not this Wednesday, but the Wednesday before last, was down there, and Lord was already speaking to me about this Sunday morning service. And so it was about midnight, close to midnight, and I sent an email to Pastor Parkey just telling him, here's some things that I've got in my spirit here concerning this Sunday morning where I'm supposed to be with you. Is this okay? And he says, writes back and says, that's absolutely on point. So we're going to have us a time here. You are not here by accident, coincidence. You were meant to be here on this Sunday morning. God's got something for you here today. Amen. Amen. I'm going to open here in a couple of spots in Acts chapter 1 and John chapter 14. We can go ahead and get into the word, and I'll go ahead and save a bunch of time here so that let you out. You can beat the Baptist to the cafeteria. Amen. So Acts chapter 1 and John chapter 14, two openings this morning, and we're going to make our way through this here, and I'm going to leave plenty of time for what I want to do at the end here because it's going to be special. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 4. It takes place after the crucifixion, the death, burial, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. This takes place now after all of these things, and these are his last words to his disciples now. He says, and being assembled together, verse 4, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them. If you have the liberty to underline in the Bible, I would underline, he commanded them. Not a suggestion, it's a command. He commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he saith, you've heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from here. He commanded them to wait for the promise. Wait for the promise. John chapter 14, what is this promise? John chapter 14, verse number 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet for a little while, and the world sees me no more, but you see me. As I live, shall you live also. Can somebody say amen? Amen. The promise was, I'm just going to very briefly talk about the promise of power. The promise of power. Because the promise here that he said to wait for was the day would come when Jesus would ascend and send supernatural power in his place to live on the inside of his followers. That day would come. Receiving this source of power in their lives would elevate them to this status of, as I live, you shall live also. It corresponds with 1 John chapter 4, verse 17, where it says, as he is in this world, so are we. Yes. Oh, man, this is good right here. I want to ask you real quickly then, well, as he is, so are we. Well, how is he? Because as he is, so are we. As he is, as he lives, so shall I live. So how is he? Your picture of Jesus. What is your picture of Jesus? Is he a defeated Jesus? Is he a weak Jesus? Is he a sickly Jesus? You know, you go to see a bunch of paintings, they make Jesus to look really effeminate and really like scrawny and really like, I mean, he's not very powerful looking. He looks very kind of like gay, all right? But, I mean, he looks very, very effeminate, weak. No, 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 no. What is your picture of Jesus? Because when I read about him, he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is overcoming. He is victorious. He's not poverty stricken. He's not sickly. It's your picture of Jesus that's going to determine his spirit on the inside of you. So what is your picture? Because I want to make a quick confession to you. I have been living for the Lord here now. I rededicated my life as a senior in high school when I was 17 years old. And that was 23 years ago. So you can do the math. You figure out how old I am. So for 23 years now, I've been living for the Lord. And I want to make a confession here for you here today. Okay, I'm going to come clean. There's just some things I find in this Bible that I can't do in my own natural ability. There's just some things I can't do. It says stuff like crazy stuff, like love your neighbor as yourself. Well, have you seen my neighbors? How about your neighbors? It says to forgive them. Some people truly are unforgivable, it seems like, doesn't it? It says crazy stuff like that. It says to pray for those that despitefully use you. Oh, Lord, come on now, somebody. How are you gonna do that? Pray for those that, some of y'all grew up like where I grew up, where somebody messes with you, what do? You, if somebody slaps you, what do? You slap them twice, yeah. I mean, that's just the way of the world. That's just the way we grow up. We grew up. Pray for those that use you. How about be anxious for nothing or rejoice always? Can I tell you that there's just some times in some situations you do not feel like you can measure up to the things that the Bible says that we are to do? But I want to tell somebody here today that there is power, supernatural power, to do what you cannot do in your own natural strength and your own natural ability. Amen. There is power. And it's not from looking within. I mean, you go to any Barnes & Noble bookstore or whatever, there is sections, whole sections out there of self-help books, you know, that talk about just look within, you know, just look within yourself and the answer is in there somewhere, you know, just look deep within and discover your inner being, and your inner being will give way to your outer being and all this other stuff. You know, that stuff does not have any power. Maybe some of those things are good with natural confidence or whatever, but never in scripture am I told to look within myself. I'm told to look towards the cross. I'm supposed to look towards Jesus, to look towards his spirit, and he enables me to do what I cannot do in my own ability. Hello, somebody. Continuing now in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, let me move down to verse number 8, because this is anybody here grow up Pentecostal? I mean, just, okay. Man, okay. Y'all crazy. I did. All right. So that's my upbringing right there, in case you couldn't tell anyways. So we used to camp out on this scripture right here. I mean, you could have a 2-3 week revival just on this scripture right here. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. Bible says, and you shall receive power. Somebody say power. And you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the world. I want to tell you something here. Here's what I've seen. That the church here today, not this church in particular, but the church as a whole, we are living in a society that is very, very politically correct, easily offended. Y'all notice that now? I mean, it just seems like everybody can get offended off the drop of a hat. Speaking on that hat, just a couple of days ago, I get back from Nigeria, and I want to go do my American duty of early voting. Everybody should be fulfilling that, by the way, all right? We live in the greatest nation in this world. I get to see a lot of nations all over the world. I tell you what, we may have our problems, but there is no place like the United States of America. So I went a few days ago, and I wore a particular red cap that I like. It says four words on it. Some people find those four words offensive, but nevertheless, it's my cap. You wear whatever cap you want to wear. That's what's great about America. You can wear what you want to wear. I wear what I want to wear, and we're all cool. That's the way it's supposed to be. But yet, there's always somebody, I'm offended. You've offended me. My feelings are hurt. And so I went to go do my early voting, wearing my hat. I'm just enjoying myself. I get asked, sir, would you mind please removing that hat? Some people would find it offensive. I said, oh, I'm sorry. Is it the obscene gestures or the vulgar language on my cap? Which one is it? No reply. Because they don't even know what to be offended about. They just know that they're supposed to be offended. Am I right? I mean, we just live in that society. We don't know what we're just supposed to be offended. I mean, I'm angry about something. My feelings are hurt about something. And because we live in that kind of a society right now, the move in many churches is to be a seeker-friendly church where we don't stomp on any toes. We don't offend anybody. We don't say anything that might be construed as controversial. So as a result, we don't have good old-fashioned things like conviction in our churches. Because can I tell you what? The gospel is not this mamby-pamby, politically correct, watered-down gospel. The gospel actually gets right to the heart, gets right to the soul. The power of the gospel is the ability to pierce right through all of that exterior crap that we have on the outside and get right to our heart. And so we have in our churches now, not this one like I said, but many churches, we got to be seeker friendly. And so we don't want to talk about stuff that might offend. I've heard of churches even that lyrics concerning the blood of Jesus. You know, we don't want to talk about the blood because it's kind of gory. And it's kind of, you know, it gives people bad feelings, you know, when they read about and mention the blood and stuff like that. Can I say, if we don't have the blood, we don't have gospel. We don't have Christianity without the blood. So that if that offends your whittle feelings, so sorry, but we cannot let our culture dictate the church. It's not supposed to be that. It's actually supposed to be the other way around. The church is supposed to be affecting the culture. Hello, somebody. And so, you know, now we got the seeker friendly. So we don't want to talk about, you know, the blood. We don't want to talk about sin because people might get offended and they might actually have to repent of their sins. And oh my gosh. We can't have that. And we certainly can't talk about the Holy Spirit because, oh my gosh, what would happen in church if somebody actually lifted up their hands or had a jerk emotion or something like that? I mean, oh my God, glory. What would happen then? I mean, my gosh, you imagine all the Twitter tweets that would go out? oh my gosh. I talk about offense, right? But can I tell you what? I want to talk about this promise of the power. And if it offends you, I apologize. But it's in the book. I can't just pick and choose what I want to go off of. If it's in the book of Acts is New Testament. And we are a New Testament church. And the book of Acts is still being written today. I can't just, and I don't want to, just out those parts that may offend me. I want to get into, if Jesus said that this was for you, if he specifically told disciples, don't go anywhere till you get this power. Don't do anything until you get this. And he said that 2,000 years ago in that culture. Do you think in the 2,000 years since that we probably have digressed as a culture? If they needed the Holy Ghost in that world 2,000 years ago, how much more do you think we need working in our lives here today? We need the Holy Ghost. And I'm not ashamed to say it. I'm not going to be ashamed to say it too. I know a lot of pastors, their closet Pentecostal people. I mean, they'll talk about, well, yeah, I prayed the Holy Spirit in my personal life. personal life, but I can't say that from the pulpit. It's like, why not? If it works for you and you need it, then why wouldn't the people need it? Why would you withhold anything good from what you're supposed to be giving out to others? Hello? I'm sorry, have I offended you yet? In these last days before Jesus comes, you're going to have to learn how to stand up and not be ashamed to speak truth and to be light in the midst of a dark world. The days of a complacent, silent, and camouflaged Christianity are over. We've been called and destined for such a time as this to be light and to shine. We are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. We are a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. We are the church of the living God, against which the gates of hell shall not, cannot, and will not ever prevail. Amen. So we can't just try to blend in. Let's just be seeker friendly, not talk about any of that. Let me tell you something. All of life is spiritual. We're spiritual beings. You live in a natural body. Now, some of us take better care of those natural bodies than others. But we're natural. We just have these natural bodies while we're here on our time and on earth. We're spiritual beings meant to live for an eternity. And whether I don't care if other people on CNN say there are many places and many ways to God, there are only two places that we will either go to for an eternity. There is still a heaven and there is still a hell. There is no middle ground. I'm sorry if that hurt your feelings. Hello? And there are evil forces out there. There are. The great dividing line of the gospel, though, is John 10:10, where it says, the thief, the enemy, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. The dividing line is, yet there is an enemy out there, but there also is a good God out there. Amen. And I can't deny that there's an enemy. Not all the forces out there, not all the spiritual forces out there are good. And there are some things that we're going to come against that we can't handle in our own natural ability. We can't overcome spiritual forces with physical weapons. Man, that'd be easy. Because I told y'all, some of y'all grew up like me. And so that meant you carried a knife with you, right? And so wouldn't it be easy? Wouldn't it be convenient if we could just shank the devil here when he messes with us? I just come over here and get behind him and just shank him a little bit there. Quit messing with me! And then walk away. Oh, man, that would be easy, right? That'd be pretty easy, pretty convenient. But the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, meaning they're not physical. So you cannot overcome spiritual forces with physical weapons. We have a supernatural enemy who needs supernatural power to overcome. Hello? So the purpose for the promise of Pentecostal power was not just so that we could shake or tremble or jerk, because we did that in our church. Man, we were known as, it was like Pentecostal Tourette's, right? It's like almost like a James Brown. Hey, hey. That's just the way that we grew up. I mean, but there was more purpose to it than that. And remember here in Luke chapter 24, Jesus, he said, Luke 24:49, he said, tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endowed with power from on high. Once again, another witness, another New Testament witness. Don't go anywhere until you get this power. That must mean that this power is pretty important. Hello? He had a job for these guys to go do. And if he says, don't do one thing, don't be a deacon, don't go parking lot attendant, don't go try to preach anything, don't do one thing until you get this promise of power working in your life, until you be clothed with it from it high. Could it be, I submit to you and ask you here today, could it be that the Lord knew that it would be impossible for the disciples to accomplish the task before them and live in the midst of a fallen, corrupt world without the help of the Holy Spirit. If they needed it back then, I ask you again, how much more do we need it now? And how can we speak of the Holy Spirit as if we were shopping for a car and it's like additional add-ons? You know, if you would like it, you can have it. It's like you're shopping for the car and, you know, if you'd like the leather package, we can add that on. If you'd like the navigation system, we can add that on. If you'd like the trim package, if you'd like the special wheel package, if you'd like these different packages, you can add it on. It's an optional. You can live with it or you can live without them. Can I tell you what? The Holy Ghost is not some additional add-on that we can pick and choose if we can live with it or live without it. We weren't meant to live our life without the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And it's not something that we can mentally learn and then walk in it just mentally. No, no, no. It's like salvation in that it's something that you open up your heart to and receive by faith. And some of you here today, you're going to receive a fresh touch of that Holy Spirit power here today. I already feel it in my bones. Glory to God. So real quickly, I'm going to give you three truths and benefits to being baptized with the power of the Holy Spirit. Number one, it is a baptism of boldness. A baptism of boldness. I'm taking you to Acts chapter 4, verse number 31, where the Bible says, and when they had prayed, talking about the disciples who were persecuted now, they had been arrested, let go. They're being persecuted. So they got together, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Boldness. There is a supernatural level of boldness that comes from God that can transform even the most timid of Christians, no matter the personality. No matter if you would say, well, you're an extrovert and I'm an introvert, it doesn't matter when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. It doesn't matter when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Peter couldn't even stand up to a bunch of campfire girls after the Lord had been crucified and he's trying to hide himself at the campfire. Before he denies three times, he's finding the world's fire. He finds campfire right there, and girls are just around there. He couldn't even stand up to campfire girls when they said, weren't you with Jesus? No, wasn't me. Like that old song, it wasn't me. All right, never mind. It wasn't me. I don't know who you're talking about. It wasn't me. No, no, somebody that looked like me. It wasn't me. No, no, I swear it was you. You sound a lot like him. No, it wasn't me. It wasn't me. It wasn't me. But yet, you get over to Acts chapter 2, and when the Holy Ghost came upon him, whoosh, Bible says that he turned around with the Holy Ghost boldness, and he preached the first sermon of the New Testament church, and 3,000 people were added to the church that day. Holy Ghost boldness come upon you. The disciples themselves, when after Jesus resurrected, he came and found them behind closed doors. They're all just, you know, checking their Facebook status, alone, private, you know. Because it said that for fear of the Jews, they were hiding behind closed doors. And yet when the Holy Ghost came upon them, man, the whole book of Acts is written of their exploits of what they did then. And we are a direct result of what they accomplished because of Holy Ghost boldness. Amen. As the world gets bolder with its wicked and immoral ways, the church is going to have a fresh baptism of boldness to stand up for what is right. I mean, the world is getting more wicked, folks. They don't care. They're bold. They're bold. And you would never have thought just a decade ago, living here in Fort Worth, I mean, this is probably a beacon of light for a conservative society. And yet, in this area, we got drag queens visiting middle schools to tell them all about the life on how to be, you know, how to be, be free, but not open. What do you call it? Accepting. How to just be accepting to the lifestyle. In middle school, we got people, we got kids in kindergarten that are being given tests to say here on this test, test which one of these genders you identify more with. More towards the male side, more towards the female side. Oh man, it's getting wicked, folks. It's a wicked world out there. And they're just getting even more bold. And so, can I tell you what's going to have to happen to the church? We're going to have to quit hiding out like the disciples did. Well, we're just in our own little communities for fear of everybody else. And we don't want people to say anything bad about us. I would rather be a God pleaser than a man pleaser. I would rather people talk about me, people say what they want to say about me, because all that matters, that does not matter one thing. What does he say about me? That's all that matters. Because one day we all stand before him. And all of these people that make fun of us for living holy or for trying to raise up our kids in the ways of God and get made fun of by our other family members who don't understand the way that we're trying to raise them and they talk bad about us or whatever, those people aren't going to matter when I stand before God and give an account of my life. And so his testimony of my life is the only one that matters. And it makes me bold. I mean, bold people don't care what other people say. I get up in nations like India, and I start my service by saying, I mean, we got thousands of Hindus on fields, Hindus, Muslims, and whatever. And I say, I begin every service the same way. If you do not see healings and miracles here tonight, then my God is a false God. I'm a false prophet. You can take me out of your village and stone me. Leave me for dead. But if you see healings, if you see miracles, then the God I serve and the God of this Bible is the only one true and living God. That's boldness. And can I tell you what? That's not my natural boldness. Is it my own natural boldness? Man, I'd be okay to just be at home, order Wingstop, and just be with my kids, all right? But there's a boldness that comes on me to reach the world. There's got to be a boldness that comes upon you. Just quit going back and forth, blending in the situations that you come across. When you're with some co-workers, you'll pray before your meal. But when you're with some other co-workers, oh, let's just dig in and stuff your fat face. Can I tell you what? The time is coming where you need either be hot or cold, because lukewarmness is going to get you spewed out of the destiny that God has for you. Can I get an amen, somebody? So number one, it is a baptism of boldness. Number two, it is a baptism of purifying fire. Let me take you to Matthew chapter 3, and it shows the words of John the Baptist when he's testifying about Jesus. He says, I indeed, verse number 11, I baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that's coming after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not even worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather the wheat into the garner, and he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. I grew up Pentecostal, so we were always praying about the fire. I want the fire, fire, fire. I mean, we didn't even know what we're talking about, but we just wanted it. We want the fire. Well, here's what I come to learn. As that Holy Ghost fire burns up the unnecessary chaff in our lives that may be trying to remain in our lives. It's separating the wheat from the chaff. It's separating the good from that which isn't. Because make no mistake about it, friends. I want you to hear me. God does not intend to leave you the way that he found you. There's got to be a change that happens. And make no mistake about this. Man cannot change themselves. It's only the work of the Holy Spirit that brings lasting change. As Miss Heidi said, I work with a lot of homeless individuals in street ministry. That's how I started 20 years ago. I graduated Bible college in 1998. And of course, back then, you just start off. I'm 20 years old. I don't have any church invitations. I'm not doing missions work overseas. And so, but I do want to share the gospel. And the only people that were open, well, they're on the streets. They're not going anywhere anyway. So that's how my street ministry was born. figured they don't got nothing to do but to hear me, so I started reaching out to them. And so to this day, that's always been a component of what we do. Yeah, we'll go overseas. Yeah, we do conferences. We do seminars. We do crusades, whatever. So a lot of you follow us on our Facebook page, Ronnie Gonzalez Ministries. Thank y'all for doing that. Y'all can stay connected with us. That's really good to do. But you'll see one of the components is our homeless ministry and our street ministry. We do the first Sunday of every month, which we're trading this Sunday with next Sunday. So we'll be out there in Unity Park, and we do a full church service. We'll have 200-300 people there every single time we're there. And it's not just handing out a hot dog. It's worship. It's giving the gospel. It's giving an altar call. It's having altar ministry, laying on of hands. I've seen people baptized in the Holy Ghost there in the park. But I bring that up to say, over the course of years, I have seen this many times of people, of men, good, honest men and women, say, I really want to change. I really want to quit smoking. I really want to kick this dope habit. I really want to get off of my, I don't want to have to have a fix anymore. I really want to quit being an alcoholic. And can I tell you that men cannot change themselves? Religion will teach us, though, that we're supposed to clean ourselves up before we get to God. That's the way that our Pentecostal fellowship was. I mean, you try to come to the altar with those earrings on, or with that makeup on, or with that ring in your nose, or with those tattoos on and everything. And we were told here, you clean yourself up. You quit cussing. You quit smoking. You quit doing dope. You lay that drink aside. You do all those things. And then maybe God will accept you. That's what religion teaches us. But can I tell you, Christianity teaches us that you come to God just as you are, and He will clean you up just as I am, without one plea. You come just as you are. Man, I've had people answer an altar call smoking. I have people answer an altar call with a beer in their hand. I don't care. That does nothing to me, because I know if they tried to throw it to the side, their heart's not really changed yet, because they can try to fool me. But what really matters is the heart. And the only thing that can change the heart, it's not man. It's not man. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. See, because we can try to get victory over something if we got enough willpower, man, we could hold out from watching that pornography for a week or so, or having that addiction for a week or so. But can I tell you, there's a limit to your own ability. To get real lasting change, it's going to take a work of the Holy Ghost fire. Can I get an amen, somebody? Are you getting anything out of this? See, because when we've been touched with Holy Ghost fire, our desires change. Our will changes to align more with His. And what satisfies us changes as well. In other words, things that used to do it for you just don't do it for you anymore. Some of you, I mean, it just used to be, that's the way it was. You went every day after work, you had to hit happy hour so you can get happy, right? That's just the way it was. You worked from 8 to 5 and then 5 to 6 or whatever. This is my happy hour. And no one ever looks happy at happy hour, but yeah, this is my happy hour. You know, and so doing what I got to do just to make it or whatever. And then you come to the cross, you get into church, you let Holy Ghost fire get a hold of you. And after a while, those things just don't seem to satisfy you anymore. Hello? Can somebody attest to that? Can somebody testify? Praise God that those things, those people, they just don't do it for you anymore. Man, not even the stench of some of those things. I know some people that were alcoholics, and then they come to getting into church, give their lives to God, and then just the being around, just the stench, just the smell. It used to be that, man, Jack Daniels was like their cologne, and now once they come to the cross, man, they can't even stand the smell of it. Reminds them of their old ways and their old men and their old lifestyle. But can I tell you that when we come to God, old things are passed away and everything gets made brand new. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Man, I grew up in church. I grew up, my grandfather is a church pastor. Going this year, I'm pastoring for 63 years. Still pastors the same church here in Fort Worth off of Willing and Berry. I come to find out that many of y'all know who he is, so that's awesome. And I, growing up in his church, I will tell you, I did not want to go into ministry. I didn't want to do have any part of it. Because I had seen evangelists come through. I had seen pastors. I had seen traveling ministers. I seen church, and I didn't want it. That just wasn't for me. I wanted to be a TV weatherman. I mean, guys always look sharp on TV. They only had to get it right half the time, bless God. I mean, seems like a good gig. Look sharp, wear suits, whatever. So that's what I wanted to go and be. I had it set in my heart in senior year. I was going to go right into media communications. I'm going to do my best to get on Channel 8, bless God. But one day, as a 17-year-old senior in high school, on October 10th, 1995, we had a visiting evangelist, a woman evangelist, who's coming to our church, and she is preaching with the joy of the Lord in her heart. I mean, she just got victory. She's talking nothing but great things, man, and I'm captivated by her. I love what she's saying. It's good stuff. And in those days, all of our young people, the jovenists, all of us would be together in our certain group over here in of the church. There'd be about 20 of us. You know, I didn't want to have anything to do with church, but as a 17-year-old boy, there was a couple of motivating factors that always brought me to church. Number one, well, I knew food. I mean, we're always going to go out to eat after church. I mean, that's just a given, bless God. We're going to go eat. And then number two, that's where all the hotties hung out. I mean, we had some good-looking girls back then come to church, so I'd always end up being there at church. But this particular Sunday, this woman ends her message, and she says, "I want to pray for all of you young people." So all of us young people have to come out, you know, 20, 25 of us here, and we're going to line up in front of this woman evangelist. And she's already starting to pray. And I'm used to seeing people fall down under the power of God. I grew up Pentecostal, no big deal. And all I was concerned with, I didn't like preachers that messed up my hair, you know, because I as a 17-year-old boy, I worked on my hair, you know, and you know, you spend time on it. You just don't want some preacher to come and just start messing stuff up, jacking with all that. So, you know, as long as she's just touching, oh, Lord be with you, Lord be. I was even willing to give her one of my courtesy falls, you know, just, oh, glory. And she's going around and she's touching people, and they're falling out under the power of God. And she gets to me, and the more she gets closer, I see, man, she's got some big hands. Lord knows what those big hands are going to do on my hair here. So I'm just kind of cringing, you know, as she's getting closer. She's going, she's going, she's going. As she's getting closer to me, she stops right next to me. She looks at me and says, "Young man, you are going to preach the gospel." I look back at her with a look like, "Your mama." Now, of course, I couldn't say that. But if looks could talk, I gave her my best, "Your mama." And she said, "Not only are you going to preach the gospel, but you will have a healing and miracle ministry." And as she comes to lay her hands on me and she's going to bless me, no sooner as she gets her hands up here, bam, I fall out under the power of God. Now, this is not something that I wanted to fake. I couldn't fake because, let me just be honest with you. They went on and took up an offering. They went on and finished with announcements. They finished the service. For 45 minutes, I laid there. And it was the first time I had ever felt the presence of God. And you know what I thought of just right then and there? If God is real, here from this day forward, I'm going to serve him all the days of my life. Can I tell you what? I am living today. 23 years later, 23 years later, today off of what I experienced that many years ago. Can I tell you, sometimes all you need is one touch from God. See, how many sermons can you really remember? How many 3 points in a poem can you actually remember? How many of those really stuck out in your mind? Yet every single one of you will be able to tell me the date where you were when God touched your life, when you felt His presence, where you were healed in your body, or when you received a miracle, or when you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit for the first time. You will remember that all of your days. It's meant to mark you. You'll never be the same afterwards. I left that service finally, you know, after everybody had gone and left. I got into my car, and back then, man, my car, it was a jacked up little lowrider. I mean, it was a ghetto man's version of a lowrider. But what I had, I had a whole big thing of CDs over here. And, you know, of course, my CD player I had to hold because, you know, it didn't work. It would skip if I was all the way in there. So I had to hold it. You couldn't see it from outside. So outside, I look good, man. I look good on the outside. Just don't come up too close to my car because then you'll see me holding my CD player, right? But I had a whole thing of CDs over here. Everything from just some rap to Tejano, R&B, you name it, whatever. You know what? Nobody had to tell me that maybe you shouldn't be listening to some of this. No one had to come and preach to me and say, well, now it's time to do this. You can't do this. Can't do, can't do, can't do. No, no, no. See, I had been touched by the fire of God. And as I said, when you get close to the fire, some shaft starts to burn off. You don't want the same things anymore. See, up until that time, hoochie mamas were okay with me. I liked them. Maybe in your era you called them, you know, Lucy Lucy's or run around Sue's or whatever. Well, I was early, you know, mid-90s, and they were hoochie mamas, and I liked hoochie mamas. Nothing wrong with them. Easy to get along with, easy in a lot of things. You know what I mean? Just. But you know what? Girlfriend that I had at that time was a bona fide hoochie mama, too. I mean, she was all the way. No one had to tell me you need to break up with this girl. See, all of a sudden, things that used to satisfy me don't satisfy me anymore. Hello, somebody. Is this helping anybody here today? Because here's what I'm going to tell you. If there are some things in your life that you haven't been able to quit, you can't break or you can't let go, in the presence of a Holy Ghost fire here today, I'm going to tell you and prophesy over you that today they burn off of your life and you're not going to struggle with them anymore. Amen. In Jesus' name. Man, I got to end this here. But I tell you, I give you 3 benefits, so let me give you the last one. Number 3, it's a baptism that allows you to walk in the fruit of the Spirit. Because the more of the root that you have in your life, the easier it is to produce the fruit. How could Paul endure all that he did? Man, he's being persecuted. He's being stoned. He's being thrown in prison. Everywhere he goes, he's being shipwrecked. He's constantly doing without food. I mean, the Bible tells us all that he endured. How could he do that in his own ability? You can't. You read Galatians 5:22 and you read about the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, all of those things there. You can't walk in those things without having His Spirit on the inside of you. And the more of His Spirit you have and you yield yourself to in your life, the easier it is to walk. Paul never said, I can do all things by looking inside and experiencing within. Never look within. He said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Christ, meaning that's not Jesus' last name, y'all. Christ literally means the anointed one and His anointing. He said, I've been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. The anointing living in me. How can anybody live one day without this precious anointing? You can't do it, folks. And you weren't meant to do it. So how do we receive? How do we receive a fresh anointing? How do we receive this promise of power in our life? Well, we repent, number one, because the Bible says, whom the world cannot receive. The Spirit, whom the world cannot receive. So number one, we have to come into the kingdom of God. We repent of those things. And then he takes away that old stony heart and puts in his spirit on the inside. But then number two, we just have to have faith enough to ask. Bible says in Luke chapter 11, verse number 13, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? See, God's gift to the world is eternal life, but God's gift to the church is the Holy Spirit. And you need it. You're not meant to do without it. There is a fresh baptism today that will mark a new beginning in your life. It will refresh your thirsty soul, and it'll break off every yoke of bondage that would try to hinder you if you will receive that. Can you give the Lord a hand clap of praise? Amen. So here's what's going to happen. I want to ask everyone to please stand up if you don't mind. Just for a moment, if you don't mind, please stand up. I wanted to give myself some time here because here's what really matters now. It's not my eloquent words. I don't think I've ever been called eloquent as it is, so. It's not that. It's that while I've been preaching, some of y'all have been getting convicted. Some of you have been seeing on the inside of here, there's some things, there's some chaff on the inside of you that needs to be let go. Maybe there's some people, maybe there's some habits, whatever it may be, I don't care. I connect with the Lord God. That's my business. And I know here today that there are some people who are far off from this loving God. Sheep to go after one that is lost. So with every head bowed and every eye closed right here, right now, between you, me, and God, I want to ask you this. Are you where you should be with God? Have you accepted Jesus into your heart? Are you forgiven? Do you know your sins are forgiven? Do you know that you're right with God? If you were to die here today, do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you would make heaven? If you do not know, and if you would say, Brother Ronnie, I don't know, I'm unsure, I just know I need prayer, I need to get some things right. If that's you and you want to get some things right here today, I want you to shoot your hand up right now. Shoot it up right now where I can see. I see him right there. There's one, there's two, there's three. Yeah, yeah, all over this auditorium. Praise God, praise God. I'm talking about eternal life, folks. I'm talking about eternal life. This is your soul, not mine. I'm pretty convinced I'm okay. Now, how about you? How about you? Everybody that raised their hand up, or you should have raised up your hand, I want you to come and meet me right here at this altar because I want to lay my hands on you and I want to pray for you. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise as people come forward here today. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Come. Just as you are, broken with habits, with addictions, just as you are. Don't try to get yourself clean before you come. You come just as you are. Hallelujah. Come closer, come closer. Thank you. Come. Man, he's running. Come up. Man, that's awesome. Praise the Lord. Come. Thank you, Lord. Everybody that's here, raise up your hands unto God. Just raise them up right where you're standing. We raise them up because what you're going to receive, you don't receive from a man. You don't receive from me. We receive from God. With your hands lifted up, I want you to say this with me. Say, Father God, I come to you today in need of a Savior. I believe that Jesus Christ died on a cross for me. I believe that he shed his blood for me, and that if I would call upon him, he would answer me and come into my heart. I ask today to be forgiven of my sins, be cleansed by the blood of Jesus, and to be made a child of God. From this day forward, I will serve you all the days of my life in Jesus' name. Now with your hands lifted up right now, Father God, I pray for every single one of my friends, every single one of my friends that came forward right now. I pray that this day would mark a new beginning in their life. I pray that not one person would leave the same way that they came. In Jesus' name, seal them right now with Holy Ghost power. 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 In the name of Jesus, receive today a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Be filled. Be filled today. In the name of Jesus. Raise up your hands, ma'am, because there's some old addictions. And it burns off everything that would be impure today from this day forward. Healed, be filled in the name, in the name, in the name of Jesus. Oh, glory. Sweetie, you got a call of God on your life. You better answer it. You better answer it today in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I don't want one person to leave here. Not one person. Everybody stay right here, right where you're at. Because this altar is about to get flooded with Holy Ghost power. And you're going to feel a fire that you have not felt in a while, in a long time. Maybe some of y'all in a long while. But in the name of Jesus, here's what's going to happen. Every single person under the sound of my voice, if you would say, Brother Ronnie, I'm dry. I'm spiritually dry. Up until this morning, I've been running on empty. I feel like I need a fresh dose. I feel like I need something new. I need a fresh baptism of power. Now I'm calling on you. You come and join them here today. Come, come to the altar and receive that which you cannot live without. You cannot live without this. Not you. You can't live without this. And I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to lay hands on you. And today you will be filled with a fresh power. A fresh power from on high. Hallelujah. Shakamamamoso. Some of you may be baptized here today with the Holy Ghost. And if that's your desire, if that's your desire, then lift up your hands and just ask Him to fill you. Fill you right now. To fill you right now. Father, see every heart. Look at every heart right now with their hands lifted up. With their hands lifted up, I pray that your Holy Spirit would overtake them right now. Would overtake right now. I pray a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit right now to come upon every heart here, that they would know that today I leave different. Today was the day when God touched me. As we sing this song, as we sing Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Know that this happens today from a real God that really loves you. Never forget it today in Jesus' name. Miss Heidi.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome.
Let's start over here. In the name of Jesus, be filled. Be filled. Be filled in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Be filled today in the name of Jesus with the Holy Ghost fire. Oh, shaka. Oh, shaka. Shaka. Mama. You're going to come up different. You're going to come up different. Shaka mama so. In the name of Jesus. Be filled. Be filled. Be filled. Oh, shaka. Be filled. In the Holy Ghost and fire. Holy Ghost fire. Right there. In the name of Jesus. Holy Ghost fire. Right there in the name of Jesus. Shaka mama so. In the name. Ho ho ho. In the name of Jesus. Come. In the name of Jesus. Right there. A Holy Ghost in fire right there. Be filled in the name of Jesus. Be filled. Be filled. Be filled. Raise up your hands. There's healing right now. There's healing right now that shoots through your body. Receive it right now. Receive right now. In the name of Jesus.
Let us experience.
Jesus. Receive right now. Receive right now. Holy Ghost fire. Holy Ghost and fire. Holy Ghost and fire. In the name of Jesus. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost and fire. In the name of Jesus. Holy Ghost and fire. In the name of Jesus. Holy Ghost and fire. In the name of Jesus. Holy Ghost and fire. In the name of Jesus. Receive. 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 In the name of Jesus. I'm also. There's a divine healing gift right there. Dropping into your soul right there, right now. Receive it right now. Receive right now. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If I didn't get you under the front over here, make your way up a little bit more so I can get you. Come up, come up, come up, come up. She come up. Hey, I can't get to everybody, but God can. Just keep your hands raised and let Him fill you here today. It's a new day. It's a new beginning. My gosh, there's a strong anointing right there. There's a strong anointing right there. I pray fire in these hands. And when you lay hands on the sick, you'll see them recover. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, receive. Right here. Come here. Give me a point. He's left in there. Depression gets erased in the name of Jesus. It gets erased. And God puts His love right there, His stamp of restoration. Today you leave restored. By the power of God. And you're never going to go back in Jesus' name. You're never going back in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's clap our hands and rejoice here today. Glory. Shuck. Let me bless you now. Let me bless you now. Raise up your hands. I want to bless you. Hallelujah. When you go and visit with your family this holiday season, Thanksgiving, Christmas, your own family members that have known you all of your life, there's going to be something on you that they're going to not be able to explain. They're going to say, what is it about you that just looks different? You seem different. There's something on you. There's something about you. And I prophesy over each and every one of you that it is God's working in your life. And God will continue to do this work. And He will bless you in the city, bless you in the field, bless you when you come, bless you when you go. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. If you receive that one more time, let's clap our hands unto God and give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Glory! Shekinah. Well, looky there. It looks like you're gonna be able to beat the Baptist after all. Friend, thank y'all so much for being attentive here today. I believe God's got something in store for each one of y'all. I'm so glad y'all made this decision here today to come to God. Let God continue. He which began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. I speak that in Jesus' name till I see you again. Love you, bless you. Thank you so much.